Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
From the number one Sunday Times best-selling author of Her Majesty's Royal Coven comes the stunning sequel, The Shadow Cabinet. Join the witches of Hebden Bridge for more magic, mayhem, and romance as they take on dangerously sexy warlocks and witchfinders. Available in hardback and audiobook, narrated by Bridgerton star Nicola Coughlan. The Shadow Cabinet, the new novel from Juno Dawson, is out now.
Hello and welcome to So I Got to Thinking, the weekly Sex and the City podcast where we take the iconic questions of Carrie Bradshaw and apply them to modern life and love. As ever, you are listening to £1 poem, Juno Dawson and hot fella, Dylan B. Jones. Hi, Dylan.
Hi, Juno. £1 poem sounds like slightly suggestive in that context.
Yeah, it sounds like a bad line in like a Nicki Minaj rap song or something.
Oh, yeah.
Rhymes with poem.
Or the name of a Nicki Minaj rap song.
Yeah.
£1 poem.
Our other choices were Drew Barrymore, Little Chocolate Souffle, and Aidan's inappropriately cinched jacket. I don't know. Well, all things we can discuss.
I'm glad you said that.
Do you know, this whole podcast is going to... This episode could well be 4 hours long because I think there's going to be a good hour on Aidan's milk tray man jacket.
Aidan's styling, yeah.
Just, like, what in the fresh barber hell is that jacket? But, yeah, so we have been watching, and just like that, episode 7, February 14th, I believe it was called.
Yeah.
Delane, do you have a pothead synopsis?
Pothead synopsis. I do indeed. Mm-hmm. So, the big headline, mm-hmm. as we've already said, and as everyone knows, Aidan is back.
For all of three scenes.
For a full 5 minutes, mm-hmm. Aidan's back. But no doubt, we're definitely going to be seeing more of him. Miranda is... So everyone's sort of... the theme is Valentine's Day, obviously. Mm-hmm. It's set on Valentine's Day, on and around Valentine's Day. And the theme is like... You know, well, romance, I guess. Miranda goes on a date with an audiobook reader, is she? A voice actor?
Yeah, sort of voice actor.
A voiceover artist?
Person whose name I've already forgotten.
I wrote her down. She was a bit of a nightmare. Amelia.
Amelia Carsey.
Amelia Carsey.
Because it rhymes with Darcy.
Yeah, and they have a Jane Austen, lots of Jane Austen themed.
I've got a bugbear. I've got a bone to pick with that scene as well. But not the scene you're probably thinking of. But yeah, carry on. What else is in the pot, Dylan?
Anthony gets a storyline, finally.
Briefly.
Anthony's hot fella's bread delivery company catches the eye of Drew Barrymore. And Anthony
Incredible.
Goes on Drew Barrymore's TV show.
But what catches the eye of Drew Barrymore, Dylan?
Well, what catches everyone's eye this week is new character Giuseppe. LTW is having issues with her son's girlfriend. LTW hates her son's girlfriend, basically. Mm.
Recycling a season one plot point about Brady's girlfriend.
Mm.
Oh, yeah. True, we'll bitch about that in a minute as well, yeah.
True. Charlotte is... It's quite a lot for Charlotte this week.
Mumager.
Charlotte does... Charlotte's mumager and then has, like, a medical emergency. Lily continues to excel herself at being the devil child. Literally hospitalizes her mother this week.
Oh my god, she's the worst.
She is. She's like, she's gonna be the death of all of them.
Mm-hmm. That's the last episode where we reveal it's a bit like Dexter or You. And everyone... Lily just a voiceover. You know, I've been asking for a voiceover. It's Lily's voiceover. And it just starts off with, I did not mean to kill my mother. However.
It was a normal day in Manhattan.
I was waiting for my res at Nobu when...
And what else? Naya. Not that much for Naya. Not that much.
She makes a souffle.
She makes a souffle.
And eats a souffle, Dylan.
While listening to Ari Lennox. I mean, you know, why not? That's literally all she does this episode. Not much for Seema. Seema goes to a spa. I've forgotten someone.
No, I think that's everyone.
Che. It's getting, I know we've said it before, but it is getting absurd. Like, how many is that? That's 9 main characters plus the kids at this point. So, what are we on, like 15 characters? I mean...
Oh, it's all a lot. It's chaos. It's just chaos.
Che gets a job at a dog rescue centre.
Also this week, Dylan and I have decided, because we think it'll be relevant to our interests, we have both separately been to see Barbie this week. So we're going to... At what point shall we deploy Barbie, chat?
Shall we deploy her midway through Miranda's Pride and Prejudice story? Should we deal with some of the characters and then go to
Barbie? Yeah, we'll break out Barbie at some point, because we feel probably a lot of our listeners are also seeing Barbie. And it feels like a cultural moment.
It is. It's very,
why not? Let's indulge in this cultural moment.
Do you know what one of my friends said the other day when we went to see it, actually? She said she described it as thrilling being in this cultural moment. And I completely agreed with her, being in this cultural phenomenon and experiencing
a female-fronted cultural moment.
Thrilling,
like,
yeah.
Yeah, like, I'm just like, that could only it could capture a moment in the way the Barbie movie has, which is so interesting. Yeah, we'll get to Barbie. Yeah. Let's start off. I mean, it would be wild to not talk about Carrie and Aiden up front, although we know And Just Like That did not give us the same benefit, and they made us wait till the last fucking 5 minutes.
Of course. And I, for a second there, thought they were that was going to be it. And then I remembered I had seen more, like, behind-the-scenes photos of Aiden, so I was like, that's not going to be it. But, yeah, I mean, should we just go straight into it, into them?
Yeah, so obviously last week, Caroline emailed Aiden because she was curious about where he was at. We start this week's episode with Carrie hiding from her laptop because Aiden has replied.
Did you see the email underneath Aiden's reply?
Thank you for donating to, what was it, New York Library?
New York Public Library, yeah.
I was like, that's Carrie very... doing God's work there. So Aiden is in town. They agreed to go out accidentally on Valentine's Day. Yeah. Which is a thing. I once accidentally organized a date for Valentine's Day, and then everybody turned it into this big thing. And I was like, no, that was just the day we both had free. Like, let's not make this something it's not, kind of.
And how did it go? Was there, like, mentions of, like, oh, it's Valentine's Day on the date?
Do you know what? I can't even remember how the date went. So
the closest I've come to that was organizing a Grindr meet at, like, 8 p.m. on a Friday without thinking. And they were like, of course not, it's Friday night. And I was like, oh, do you know what? Yeah, you're right.
Why couldn't you have a Grindr meet on a Friday night?
Just because, you know, everyone's busy on a Friday night.
I'm not. Friday night is my stay home and watch a horror film night, Dylan, and it has been for about 10 years now.
Well, you would be able to have a Grindr meet on a Friday night then.
Yeah, so Friday nights, so this is an aside, listeners. I like, on a Friday night, I like to decompress after the working week. Maybe get a little takeaway, watch a little horror film. Friday night is horror night. And then my out night is Saturday night.
Oh. That's I like that. Oh, yeah. Apparently that new horror film's good, the one with the hand.
I'm seeing it tonight.
Apparently
we can discuss that next week, yeah.
Apparently it's great.
Talk to me. It's called Australian Very Scary. It looks apparently genuinely terrifying. I believe Chris has seen it.
He has, yeah, and he said it's fun and scary, which is like all you want from a horror film.
Does Chris get scared? Because I am easily scared, but I like being scared.
He doesn't get scared.
I'm seeing it with my friend Kerry, who is also quite a horror film. It's effectively scared by horror films, so I imagine both of us will be like this the whole way. So neither of us are going to fucking see this film. Normally I rely on Max to be like, what's happening? What is happening to her? I love it, but I love horror films. I've always loved horror films, so we'll that can be next week's cultural moment.
Yeah.
So yeah, anyway, talking about jump scares. Aiden! This
episode is packed with them, let me tell you.
Bizarre. So we have
Aiden's coat.
Yeah, well, Carrie doesn't. Let's build up to that moment. So there's a whole bunch of Carrie kind of frittering around. She's barely in it for the whole episode.
Yeah.
And then she goes to a restaurant. It's like a rerun of the Il Cantinori horror.
I was thinking the same.
Of 2001 or whenever it was.
It's an Italian restaurant again as well. Don't go to Italian restaurants, Carrie. Like, it doesn't end well.
Although, if a waiter was loudly chewing gum while serving me, that's not something I would fuck with. That is, and especially in America where they're working for tips.
Like, yeah.
Come on.
It's different in Europe. Like, in continental Europe, if you get your food, you're lucky. Like, I remember in Paris, I was, like, waiting for the bill. And I'd been waiting for, like, half an hour. And the waitress, like, was coming over to my table. And she looked at me, and then her phone rang. And she just, like, answered it and just, like, started chatting away and, like, lit a cigarette. And I was like, okay, I'm leaving.
Oh, wow. Without paying?
No, in the end, I paid. But I just, like, walked up to the, the front desk. And I was like, here's my bill. Excusez-moi, s'il vous plaît. Je vais payer.
Yeah, so Carrie goes to the wrong restaurant. Her phone, like, just bizarre. In an episode with so many characters, so much time wasting. So her phone dies. She thinks she's been stood up. Then, lo and behold, neither of them text before half an hour has passed. Like,
yeah, I mean, that's wrong with you.
It turns out, lol, Aiden's next door. What are the chances? So, yeah, they meet on the street. Aiden is dressed like an Action Man doll, getting ready to drop a box of milk tray through your open bedroom window in some sort of, like, I think it is a barber jacket.
A long, very tightly cinched, done up. Yeah. Very tightly done up to the point where his body looks rigid, like he's being held up by the coat.
Like, we get it. John Corbett has lost some weight. He's looking very trim. He's looking like he's on the keto. But I'm not sure the best way to show that off was to cinch him in at the waist.
And then he looks so much better when they're at the restaurant and he just has that fucking jacket off. And he looks great. But, like, why did they put him in that? Oh, no.
It was a very strange choice. I can't quite describe that garment. He looked a bit like, you know, when you see a horse getting out of a horse box and they're wearing, like, a little jacket thing?
Those jackets, yeah. Yes. That's what it reminded, those horse
like
jackets.
Horse blankies, yeah. That's what it was giving for me. It was not sexy.
But I thought John Corbett, was great.
He's ageless, yeah. And still very sexy.
Yeah.
We need Candice Carty-Williams. Can we just, if you're listening, Candice, can you just verify that he's still hot? Or is it Clara that likes him?
I think both.
It's both. Yeah.
Please
do get in touch. Are we still fancying Aiden after all these years? Yeah. He's aging like a fine wine. He looks amazing.
And it did, there was a wave of nostalgia came over me when, even just when he started speaking, like, them interacting was, I was just like, oh my God, like, this is Carrie and Aiden.
And he had that kind of relaxed, funny, kind of very different vibe to big
But then very emotional. That was quite an emotional scene by her stairs.
No. This is where I slightly lost patience, which is I'm kind of like, it was a very, no, okay. The last time Samantha Irby wrote an episode, we loved it. That was the Dust Balls episode. So Samantha Irby was on solo writing duty.
I saw that, yeah.
It felt to me the scene where Aiden, so if we put this in context, in quite un-Carrie-like behaviour. And this is what frustrated me so much. So little time was given to this plot that Carrie inviting Aiden back to her flat felt insanely fast. Like, it's whoa, hang on. Even, like, I'm not going to slut-shame anybody. But kind of like, it was like, we'd waited until the last 5 minutes of the episode. We see Aiden for the first time since Sex and the City 2. Although I choose to accept that didn't happen and it was all like maybe Carrie was tripping or something.
Oh yeah, the souk snog.
The souk snog, for my mind, never happened. So you've got kind of, they meet on the street. She recovers from the shock of seeing him dressed as a racehorse. They go for dinner, go back to his flat, all in the space of three scenes. Aiden is only in three scenes in this episode.
Yeah, and for us, the scenes aren't spaced out. So for us, I think that's why it's so pronounced, because for us, it's in the space. All of this happens in the space of literally 5 minutes.
And this was very like, there was pacing issues with last week's as well, when Miranda wasn't in it. And then in the last 5 minutes, she gets dumped twice. Amazing.
Yeah.
and so then they get back to her flat. Aiden is shocked that she's still living on the Lower East Side in her old flat. Or is it Upper East Side, wherever it is she's meant to live? And
he says, I'm never going in there again.
And it's all, but that's where I felt it was a bit written, because obviously he's referring to the emotional space he was in with Carrie Bradshaw in 2001. And it was all a bit kind of like, do people in real life speak through the art of metaphor?
Yeah, and when he said, like, oh, do you remember that wall I couldn't break down? Like, yes, okay.
Yeah, we get it. We got the metaphor then. We still get the metaphor now.
I have done GCSE media studies, and I get it.
Yeah. So it felt a little bit not my favourite scene.
Yes.
But...
Yeah. And then I thought it was very sudden as well when... Because I expected them to part ways then, and then for things to be a bit more resolved next week. But then when he's like, oh, but we can get a hotel. And it's like, what? It was just all very, it felt crammed in.
Really crammed in. And also, Aiden, although obviously their relationship was quite complicated in places, he just doesn't strike me as the type of man who'd give two shits about that, to be honest.
Yeah.
Like, he'd be like, I'd be more like, oh, have you still got that chair? Like, that feels like a more Aiden-y response. Have you still got that big fucking ugly chair I once made for you, kind of?
Do you know who he reminds me of? He reminds me of Neve's partner, Neve's man in HMRC.
Oh, that, thanks,
that, like,
Dylan.
That same, that's, I was just trying to think, and it's that same kind of, and it's when you said he wouldn't give two shits, like, it's that kind of like a sensitive man, but also a man who, like, knows what they want and doesn't get too caught up in all the, like, emotions of things.
Thank you. That's Her Majesty's Royal Coven.
Yes.
Available now.
Available now, yeah.
Thank you. thanks for that. I didn't even tell Dylan to say that, so thank
you. Yeah, there you go.
So they, neck-breaking. And I've had a couple of DMs this morning from people saying, I don't understand why anybody would want to get back together with their ex from 20 years ago. Like, and I know that's my stumbling point as well. And I'm really interested to see where this storyline is going, because I'm with Carrie at the moment. If I went for dinner with somebody that I had been in love with 20 years ago, it would be very easy to fall back into old patterns. I think. And it's a good job John Corbett's so sexy, because that's the only thing that's making me buy this. But it just all happened so fast. Why wasn't more screen time given to that meal? You know, kind of that meal scene could have been broken up into maybe two or three conversations you know, we didn't, Carrie didn't ask about his divorce. She didn't ask about his kids, you know.
Yeah, kind of... and like, just can, as much as I love Seema, can that scene with Seema at the spa? We did not need that.
No, we didn't need Seema in this episode.
At all. And that was a good 5 minutes, which in this show, 5 minutes are precious.
Well, Che! Did we need to know that Che is now fucking working at a veterinary clinic? What the fuck was that scene? Cut it. Cut it from the script.
And a lot of Charlotte's storyline was unnecessary as well.
See, I'm forgiving of the Charlotte stuff, actually, but we'll come on to that in a minute. But really, again, you know, Aiden's return, without a doubt, is the big headline of season two. Without Aiden returning, I would go so far as to say, well, there wasn't really a lot of point in doing it.
Well, so, I guess Samantha as well, but...
Yes.
Like, that's...
I like to think that Samantha's going to pop up and say, don't marry Aiden, you have nothing in common. And that's the phone call, which is like, Carrie, hi, it's Samantha.
By the way...
It recently came to my attention that you were thinking of marrying Aiden. Sweetie, no.
Oh, sweetie, no.
Yeah. Oh, sweetie, no. No, 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 no.
No, 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 no.
No, 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 no. Yeah, that's the scene. That is the scene. There you go.
I watched one of the old ones the other day where she dates the older guy, Ed.
Yeah.
And she goes, oh, Ed. And it just, I kind of thought I shouldn't have watched it because it just threw into sharp relief, like, how lacking this show is of her. Like, yeah. God, she was amazing.
Well, potentially, you know, if Seema is... God, we're all over the place this week. If Seema is the best of the new characters, she hasn't done anything this season. We got rid of her fella in, I think, was it episode two?
She got mugged.
She got mugged. I know we were saying last week, please give Anthony a plot. No, no, give Seema a plot. For the love of God, give Seema a plot.
Yeah, she's one of the... Now that you say that, she is one of the least developed characters.
Yeah.
It was a great episode. It was a highlight of season one when we met her family at Diwali.
Yeah.
That made her seem a bit more rounded. But you're right, actually.
Because there could have been... So we've got two plot lines about what are single people meant to do on Valentine's. Mm. I think I could have lived without Naya sourcing, preparing and eating a cake.
Yeah, I would rather have seen...
Che finding a stray dog.
I would rather have seen, like, Seema at, like, a nightclub. Than any of that.
Although, like, Seema trying to navigate Manhattan on Valentine's Day and just getting gradually more irate.
Yeah,
until she throws an absolute shit fit at one point would have been a rather more satisfying plot.
I think. And Seema just, like, acting as, like, pretending Valentine's doesn't exist and, like, trying to do all this stuff and always, yes, that would have been great.
So where we leave Carrie and Aiden, which is Aiden refuses to go up to Carrie's apartment, but then... Amazingly, he says, this is Manhattan, they have hotels. Yes, they do.
Yes,
and then they have
famously.
A big snog. And that's where it ends. What next? How many episodes have we got left? Four left?
I wonder if this show... I don't think this show is going to be the show where it ends on all of them being with people and happy. That's not this show's style. I don't know. I really don't know.
And I especially don't think that's Miranda's storyline, but we'll come to Miranda imminently. Before we go to break, should we talk about Barbie? Or do you want to talk about Carrie more?
No, that's it. We've said enough.
Yes. Who knows where it's going? For me, I'm going to say on the record now, if Carrie ends up with Aiden, I think that's a bit ridiculous. But I know there's probably a lot of people out there who would quite like, a bit like Naya, would like to have their cake and eat it and have Carrie both end up with both Big and Aiden.
I would sort of love the troll levels if at the last minute Petrovsky comes back.
Burger.
Can you imagine Burger?
Jack Burger comes back.
Fucking motorbike, Jesus.
Just knocks Carrie down on his motorbike and that's how it ends.
Lily's waving from the back of the bike, like, bye, bitch.
Lily on the back of the bike. Okay, from ridiculous to ridiculous. Barbie movie. Okay, what do we think? So, relevant to our interests. It's a female directed, half female written film produced by a woman, starring lots of women.
Incredible. I saw it, I think I mentioned at the beginning, I saw it a few days ago at a packed cinema at Rich Mix in Shoreditch with my girlies. And I think my favourite thing about the film is not so much the film itself, but this feeling of just being part of something, which we haven't with cinema experienced since I mean, at least pre-pandemic.
Avengers Endgame, I think. Avengers, that was the last time people were cheering and clapping and whooping in the cinema. I'm with you on that. And I'm going to agree. I think I like the idea of the film more than I liked the film.
Yeah, me too. Yeah.
I think it is the very living definition of a 4-star movie, if I'm honest.
For sure. Absolutely. Yeah. I thought styling, 10 out of 10, obviously.
100, yeah, well, the sets and the styling were gorgeous, yeah.
The set design was incredible. I was listening to a podcast, my film podcast, The Big Picture. It's very good for anyone who's into cinema. And they credited Sarah Greenwood as the production designer, who apparently, like, built, basically, she's this amazing woman who, like, built this world completely from scratch
in
with
physicality,
like,
a built a like sort of physically like studios, yeah.
Built it, yeah. And apparently it is neo-realist.
There you go.
So yeah.
For me, but a lot of the issues were in the script, I must admit.
I was gonna say exactly the same.
It was incredibly on the nose. I saw somebody on Threads. Not Twitter, because I'm not on Twitter. I saw somebody on Threads describing it as it's like a political pop song. Which is, of course, it's not subtle. So, it's kind of like the Chumbawamba of feminist cinema, which is, it is like being hit in the face with a feminist hammer. It's not subtle. It's not especially clever.
this is a controversial statement. At certain points, the script felt a little bit unjust like that.
Like, basically, there is no room for interpretation.
Yeah.
There is no risk that anyone is not going to understand the feminist credentials of this film. Mm. You know, because they are driven home with a pink drill.
With a pink stiletto.
With a pink stiletto, kind of, you know, you're not going to miss it. And so for me, you know, it could have been, it could have been a little bit heavier on laughs, actually. I felt, you know, it's very interesting to have a Barbie film where Margot Robbie is sobbing for most of the film. And I know this is what it's about. It's about an innocent, naive woman sort of recognizing the true horror of patriarchy. Yeah. But she does spend a lot of the film sobbing.
For me, it was very much at its strongest with the visual gags. Like, there were some great visual gags, like when she drinks the water and there's like no water in it. And then I was really laughing when the first time she actually drinks water.
Yeah.
And it reminds me of when like Patsy eats the crisp in Ab Fab and she like doesn't know how to eat. Like, it was really fun. And like Margot Robbie, like, wow. Like,
yeah. Although Oscar. I think Ryan Gosling rather steals the show, if I'm honest.
Yeah,
I think his portrayal of Ken is the standout kind of.
Needless to say, I was very into like all of the styling for Ken.
Yeah. It was, so don't get me wrong, I feel mean sort of giving it, it doesn't get the free pass that, say, the Talk to Me horror film is going to get tonight.
Mm.
And I wonder if that's because expectation was so high. And we know that Greta Gerwig is a genius. And actually, I will say this, I preferred Little Women, I think, to Barbie. I think Little Women is a 5-star film.
Yeah.
With the same feminist credentials. But I didn't feel like that sense of, I get it. Like, on the third feminist monologue, I was like, I get it.
I felt like a real, and I wasn't sure if I was being like an asshole man. I wasn't sure if I was being a Ken thinking this, but I was saying that like, and the sixth time they said patriarchy, I was like, come on.
Like, so I think, again, I'm going to go with that phrase I learned on Threads, you know, that it's like a political pop song, you know, which
that's a really good summation.
And the question of who is it for as well confused me a bit. Some mums, I saw it last Friday night on opening night in Brighton Marina, and a load of mums had brought kind of, I want to say like maybe sort of 8, 9, 10, maybe slight. I know it's a 12A, but there were some definite little girls in that cinema who were not 12.
Yeah.
And those girls were bored shitless. They were up and down. They were being very well behaved, but they were up and down, going to get drinks, going to the toilet.
Interesting. It's not for kids. It's not for kids.
It's rated 12A. And I think that's a choice because Little Women is U certificate. So anyone can go see Little Women.
Yeah.
And so I think, had it been a little more subtle with its sort of, you know, if there was 5 minutes less of Barbie crying in a heap or slightly trimmed down some of those big monologues.
Mm.
And I know everybody's going mad over the America Ferrera monologue, but I'm a bit like, again.
That was a bit gender,
a bit like, you know the film... Oh, was it Inside Out, the Pixar one?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
With all the little emotions.
Yeah.
And a lot of, like, especially memo, like, oh, I did not understand my emotions until I saw a Pixar film.
Come on.
I'm like, if you didn't understand patriarchy until you saw Barbie the fucking movie,
then you're fucked.
That's a bit of an eye-opener.
One thing I do love about it is how it's really shown how the right wing... I'm gonna co-op their phrase. I'm gonna call them fucking snowflakes because that's what they are. The right wing snowflakes are really showing like how pathetic they are, aren't they? Like, if you're this pressed by a Barbie movie, and the irony is they have become what they say we are, which is they can't take a fucking joke.
Triggered, yeah.
They're triggered and they can't take a joke.
And I do think I wonder Greta Gerwig is smart. I wonder if she was like, this has to be the broadest feminist anthem there has ever been. And it is broad, but I will say I thoroughly, thoroughly enjoyed it. I wasn't bored for a single second.
Oh, yeah, same.
Like, go see Barbie. It's great. We want more films written and directed by women about women.
Yeah.
I think already it's going to be one of the biggest films of the year. So you don't need to take our word for it. But I just wish it had quite... Because it's so close. It's so close to being perfect. Mm. So what you're hearing is my slight disappointment.
Yeah, me too. But I think it could never have lived... Like you said, like it could never have lived up to the amount of hype
but
it has.
But how fun. Everybody was wearing pink. Get dressed up. Get drunk. Go see Barbie. There won't be a film like it for a long time.
Yeah.
Let's go to break. And sorry, that one fan who hates it when we talk about anything other than Sex and the City. When we come back, we will talk about Miranda and Charlotte. See you in a sec.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare.
PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hi, welcome back to So I Got to Thinking. We're talking about And Just Like That, Season 2, Episode 7, February 14, Miranda. Yep. Aww.
Loved. Loved all, like, the highlight for me for this episode.
Also, was, how gorgeous is Cynthia Nixon?
Purple dress. Wow.
Oh, gosh.
I really felt like it was Miranda in this episode. Like, Miranda is back.
Yes, me too. That realization that I've changed, dating has not, was brilliant.
Yeah.
And I kind of didn't see it coming. I thought it was such a real moment in a very stupid world with hot fellas and Drew Barrymore and, you know, all that circus.
Yeah.
The moment she stepped into that horrible little apartment and I was like, genius.
That was so well done. I have been in those apartments. I can smell the cat litter.
Shitty cat litter.
Oh. When Amelia Carsey's like tapping her like shoes together to shake the cat litter off them, I was like, fucking hell, this is...
And I think that's what Samantha Irby's really good at. I think because that her last episode felt somewhat grounded in reality. Because when they were sitting around talking about jizz, it felt like old Sex and the City. And I think Samantha Irby has really captured Sex and the City in her scripts.
Well, and, did you get the Easter egg?
Did I get the Easter egg? I'm not sure, did I?
So Carrie says to Miranda, Carrie quips when they're talking about like Jane Austen and stuff. Mm-hmm. She's like, you've got great sexpectations. And Great Sexpectations is the name of season 6, episode 2.
Episode 2, yeah.
In which Magda records over all of Miranda's TiVo by accident.
Great Sexpectations, yeah. Which is Dickens.
Oh, well, yeah.
Speaking of big Dickens. So Amelia is hilarious. I love that. You at first think she's going to be like another Che-esque kind of like slightly impossible New York figure.
Yeah.
But I quite like, actually, she lives in actual New York, where an actor would live in a one-room kitchen studio with a feral cat locked in the bathroom. I love when Miranda screamed at the cat. That was like, I can't remember what episode does Miranda scream at before.
Oh, there's a few. She does do a really good scream in one of them.
Oh, at the wedding when she sets fire to herself. Yeah.
Amelia's mic setup just really stressed me out. I was like, is that over the sink? Like, and sort of on the table, like, what is going on there?
Mm-hmm. Really good. Unhinged scenes.
And then I loved when, just like, so many ridiculous lines of dialogue as well. Like, I've always been turned on by those Jane Austen audiobooks. Just one of many ridiculous lines.
So can you guess what my bugbear is about the Miranda and Amelia plotline?
No, what is it?
I think as a scriptwriter, I would never be allowed to include a scene where you meet someone you admire coincidentally.
Right.
And Miranda and Naya are not planning to stumble upon her backroom reading of Jane Austen.
So it would have been better if they'd gone to like a scheduled reading.
Yes, that would have sat better. Because I wouldn't. So what? She runs into somebody she's admired for a long time by accident and they end up going on a date. Really?
Yeah, I was for a second, probably for this reason, for a second I was slightly confused when she said, oh, I've listened to your... And I was like, what's happening? I thought they had just met. Yeah, you're right.
So that bugged me. But other than that, it's a means to an end. But again, a little rewrite. But then, of course, what's really important, of course, is that Miranda was shopping with Naya so she could make her cake. let's not forget, that is the most important plot of the
Naya's cake.
Which Naya makes and eats a cake.
Is it a souffle?
A souffle. Although I will say, I'm sure if I was still single, I would really appreciate Naya repping for the single women on Valentine's Day. It is a horrible pressure. I liked her friends attempting to distract her on Valentine's Day. But also, does anybody in the world really give two shits about Valentine's Day? Do you give two shits about Valentine's Day?
Oh no, Chris and I never acknowledge it.
I don't even think Max and I buy each other cards, do we? Do we? I think people do,
but I think maybe less so.
Oh, maybe I did this year. I don't think we have every year.
Panny D we did, but we had nothing else to do.
Why not? Please, listeners, anything to make this day look different. You know?
Yeah, literally, even if it's like a heart bunting.
We just celebrated St. David's Day.
Yeah, listeners, what do you think? Is it still a thing? Was it last year? I don't remember it being a thing last year.
I'm sorry, I'm going to say this again, things that will get me cancelled. I just really hope I get cancelled this year. I think if you're into Valentine's Day, sorry, I think you might be a bit basic.
Oh, the hard truths coming through.
Do you need a day? Do you need a day to celebrate to love? It just feels very commercial. I'll tell you what Max and I do. We do Naff Valentine's. Have we talked about this on the podcast before?
I don't think so.
Often me and my friends, Tommy and Ed, we double date and we go to something just shit. So this year for Valentine's Day, we went to Glow Balls, the glow in the dark mini golf in Brighton Marina. That's two shout outs for Brighton Marina now. We've been to Tenpin Bowling. We went to TGI Fridays once. And it was as horrible as you think it was going to be. So yeah, we like Naff Valentine's. We almost do anti-Valentine's activities.
That's great. You should go on the ghost train next year.
On the pier, maybe. Yeah. I'm not sure. Is Brighton Pier open through the winter? I'm not sure it is.
So. Oh, I don't know.
I don't know.
Yeah.
But shout out, well done, Miranda, for walking out of that apartment. A little bit harsh to judge a woman based on her apartment. But it was also cat carnage. You know, my question is, why would Amelia invite her into that space? That's quite unhinged, yeah. Kind of.
And I felt like Miranda, because I slightly thought, like, is she being judgy? And then I thought, actually, no, because Amelia, like, hasn't made the effort, has she?
No.
Like, and that's the problem. Like, Miranda's dressed up, she's made the effort, and Amelia's just, like, there in her, like, fucking cardi. just hectic. I feel like I have maybe been Amelia before, unfortunately.
Invited somebody around for a shag and not put any sheets on the bed, like...
You're not cleaned out the litter tray, yeah.
Yeah, that is... Yeah, maybe that's the difference. In my 20s, I would have just grinned and bear it. Now, absolutely not. Now I'd be like, we're going to go out now. Get your coat. We are going the fuck out.
And Miranda says that, doesn't she? She's like, 30-year-old Miranda would have stayed, but I don't have to. Good for her.
Well done, Miranda. We love you and we think you look gorgeous. I'm glad the grey fright wig has gone.
Very, very quick question. What does Miranda do? For a job.
Well, she's at college.
Is she still at college? Is she?
I think
what
so.
What does she do? What does she do? I just suddenly thought it. I was like, what does she do? Yeah, I suppose her and Naya have met outside the college, haven't they? Outside. Yeah, I suppose.
Well, they're living together now. I think Miranda is still. But I think that's the trajectory this season. I think this is about Miranda getting back to Miranda. And so I wonder if by the end of the season, she might be sort of figuring out what her future is going to look like. Speaking of which, Charlotte has made some decisions about her professional life.
Yes.
I did quite like the Charlotte plotline. We've had this culmination of her children running her life for a long time now. You know, she left the gallery in season 3 after she married Trey to dedicate herself to glazing bowls and fighting childhood AIDS, if we remember.
Yeah.
She didn't achieve those things. She instead became a full-time stay-at-home mom / momager to rock. I really like a lot of models. Rock has learned modelling is shit. And actually, like models, it's the one job in the world you can't want to do. No one can want to be tall and thin. You either are or you aren't. And yeah. Rock has decided, well, my face may well fit. However, this is shit. I can't don't want asked. To do it. I can't
Rock
be asked.
Cannot be asked. I really liked the scene with Charlotte being the Karen mummager, just because it makes so much sense for her character. And there was also like a slight reference to, you know, how much they slag off like anywhere that's not in Manhattan. Mm-hmm. Charlotte's like, we're not even in Manhattan. And Rock's like, yeah, this is the cool agency, mm-hmm. which I enjoyed.
I wonder where they were. Were they in Brooklyn or Queens or something? I don't know.
Maybe like, what's it called?
Williamsburg?
Not Williamsburg. Bushwick.
Bushwick, maybe. But yeah, apparently Rock is offered representation by IMG and Elite, two of the biggest modelling agencies in the world.
Yeah, that was, yeah.
But Rock, I think Rock is very cool. Nah, not for me.
Yeah, they can't
Great.
Be us.
Well done, Rock. And that's really true. There are a lot of, I know people who are scouted as models when they're teenagers. I think initially they're very flattered and give it a whirl. And then they're like, oh, man, no, you've got to be up at 5 a.m. No.
Oh, no.
And it's weird. No, you've got to. No, I don't want to go to France. I don't know anybody in France. It's weird. it's not for everyone. Lily being just an absolute brat. Although, boo, she had sex with Blake and then Blake has dumped her.
I know. What an arsehole.
What an arse.
Loved the fact that her song is called The Power of Privilege. amazing.
It's like a kick me sign. Yeah.
Yeah. Lily inadvertently spikes Charlotte with weed brownies. As uh-huh. soon as Charlotte took a bite of that brownie, it's got weed in it. Mm-hmm. And Charlotte, oh sweet, when Harry's like, this is the love of my life, when she's in the ambulance.
Charlotte, I mean, the right age to be having a stroke. You are past the age of about 45, you are on stroke risk. Watch your blood pressure, kids.
Yeah.
But she hasn't had a stroke. She's just done a little bit of pot. Yeah. So she's fine, but she decides, with clarity, not highness, that she's going to take Victor Gerber's offer up. She needs to do something with her life that is not just running around after two slightly ungrateful children.
I'm really looking forward to this.
Although we do know that obviously Sam Smith is somehow coming into Charlotte's world. We need to prepare for that.
So we need to mentally
prepare for sex positive queer song.
Yes. Oh might, God, if Che and Sam Duet, Smith meet, yeah. I don't think I'm going to be able to cope with that.
it's going off. Which leaves us only with, is there anything to say about LTW other than the fact we've done this storyline already with Brady and Louisa?
Yeah, I mean, I continue to like Nicole Ari Parker a lot. Mm-hmm. She's just, I mean, apart from anything else, she's just sort of entrancing to look at.
Yeah, so gorgeous.
So gorgeous. I do, I am on her side in this storyline. Like, I think she's right to freak out about them, like, taking pictures in her closet.
Yeah.
And being like, get the fuck out. But the story doesn't come to anything or have any, like, clear...
Again, waste of time. We came for Aiden. Why are we watching this woman chat about handbags and stuff?
Also them both chuckling about how, like, he spent the kids... He was like, oh, spend so much money on our dinner for Valentine's Day tonight. Like, fuck off.
Yeah, fuck off. I'm more interested to speak about... pure ridiculous Charlotte being a pimp for Anthony, poor Giuseppe with his one man poems, and Drew Barrymore staring at his dick, which was very game of Drew Barrymore. I've always adored Drew Barrymore,
she was great in this, and I was expecting it to like cut to before and after the show. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? Like, I wasn't expecting them to be on the show, and then they were on the show and there she was, and I was like, oh my god. Charlotte, I'm not sure about the ethics of Charlotte basically like first sneakily taking a picture of Giuseppe and sending it to Anthony, and then going and then just like sort of buying him.
Although, again, shout out to Samantha Irby for psychically reading my mind in that first scene where Anthony is with
the hot fellas.
The hot fellas. I was like, this is very bad. About these men are very steroidy, and this is not what men's bodies look like. And then literally about 30 seconds later, he injects his thigh with growth hormone. And I was like, okay, I feel red.
That one, I don't usually go for the super muscly, but that one with the beard who was in season one as well. Jesus Christ. I mean,
the one who carried Carrie.
Yeah, but also, like, I was thinking the same. I was like, this is ridiculous. Who looks like that? And then the steroids.
That's important, though. I need young men watching this show to recognise that people who look like that are on steroids. The end. And that's something I learned when I moved to London. I thought there was something physically wrong with me pre-transition because I was going to the gym all the time, like all the time, 5 times a week. Eating all the chicken and broccoli, drinking the protein shakes. And my body just did not do that. And then that's when I learned all the men whose bodies do look like that, they were all of them, without fail, on steroids. Those are your choices. You can either be on steroids or not.
That or, like, literally live at the gym. Like, at the gym. Like
No, it's steroids. It is steroids. There's no two ways about it. You can't eat enough calories to make your body that big.
I've started having protein shakes and I'm already a bit like, this is gross and I can't be arsed, and it's not doing anything.
And nobody's honest about it. I don't want to name names, but there's a friend of mine at the moment who has just started using steroids, and on his gym progress pics, he's leaving that bit out.
Oh, that's, yeah, that's
so
a bit
it's
trash.
It's not gym progress. It's steroid progress.
One of my friends has an incredible body, and I asked him what his, like, workout routine was, and he was like, oh, I just watch what I eat. I don't go to the gym. And I was like, you had the courage to sit there before me and say that. And I almost respect that, but you're lying.
I just watch what I eat.
Come on.
It's like me with Botox and fillers. I'm not going to sit here and say, oh, I just drink lots of water and get 8 hours sleep, Nicole Ari Parker. You know, I think just come on. It's like, let's just all be really upfront about kind of, you can look like this, but there are ways to do it, kind of.
Yeah. It's 2023.
Be honest, kids. Do we think that's Giuseppe's real willy, or do you think they gave him a modesty lump?
I think they gave him the opposite of a modesty lump.
An immodesty lump.
Yeah, I think they probably did. Drew's great. I enjoyed Ross Matthews' cameo.
Yeah, God. Another jump scare. Like, what? Why is Ross Matthews in I'm Just Like That now?
Fun storyline. And something for... I wonder if there's going to be a romance between Anthony and
I think we see more. There was in the trailer, there was the making bread together. So yes, I think Anthony and Giuseppe, there might be a plot line happening. But please, universe, if you're listening, please give Seema something to do. Seema's the best one of the new blood. We love Seema the most.
She is.
Yeah.
And if people's like comments on Instagram and stuff are anything to go by, like, she's most people's new fave. Yeah.
Yeah.
Shout out to Anthony's bread phone.
Yeah. Oh my God. I was obsessed with the bread phone. Yeah. Love that.
Have we forgotten anyone?
Is there anything to say about Chet becoming a vet?
Chet the vet. I liked the scene, the dialogue between two non-cis people that wasn't about, like, it wasn't about gender, it was just, like, about dogs.
It's like the Juno Dawson test, you need two named trans characters talking about something other than being trans, yeah.
Yeah, that was nice. I am anticipating them struggling now with Che's character because there's not really anywhere, where is there left for that character to go?
Unless
really.
Miranda and Che reconcile, but again, I absolutely did not need those Che scenes this week.
Although I am getting, I did think, credit where credit's due, I'm getting what I asked for because, do you remember I moaned a few episodes ago that they haven't addressed, there are, like, all the characters have so much money. Che's, like, running out of money.
Why can't they do more stand-up? I'm so confused.
I wasn't sure if I bought that, to be honest.
Like, Che was financially solvent before they had the pilot.
And also, I'm sure they've got, like, what, 100,000 Instagram followers. They can do some spawn, you know.
Yeah, it's so weird.
Yeah.
But anyway, whatever. Yeah. That's what we're doing, so. My friend Alex T. Smith, the illustrator, messaged to say that, you know, it's absolute chaos. I would watch 900 more episodes. And yes, correct.
Yes. Oh my God, I wrote down, I've just like scrolled down in my notes and seen another line I forgot about that Amelia says. To quote Mrs. Bennett in P&P, how can you be so teasing? P&P for Pride and Prejudice. Amazing.
Postage and Packing also. To quote Mrs. Bennett in Postage and Packing.
Party and play.
They're different worlds. I went to Postage and Packing. You went to Party and Play. There we go. Right, so we have now been on, well, this is now an hour-long special. Thank you for bearing with us. We will be back next week to see what happens with Carrie and Aiden and Charlotte's returning to the world of work.
I also can't wait for the 6 new characters they introduce next week. So then we'll have like 50 people to talk about next week, probably.
Stop. It's fine. It's, do you know what? Yeah. Well, we'll be here. We'll be here as ever. Yeah. Your brave tour guides through the cultural wilderness. Irrelevance of adventures like that. Until next time, stay safe, do like and subscribe, and we will see you next week for more chat. Bye for now.
Bye.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.